gonna be just mine. I'm my number one fan.
She just goes a little mad sometimes.
Have you checked the children?
How do you know my name? I didn't tell you my name.
Hang up.
I didn't tell them my name.
They're all apart. They're all parts, all of them.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to All Horror. This is Robin.
This is Amanda.
This is Madison.
And this is Lizanne.
And this week, we have a pretty full episode, wouldn't you say, guys?
I think so.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about American Horror Story and the related slasher films that the previews and trailers have been nodding to, along with Richard Ramirez, who speculation is that he may be one of the killers. And then also we will be talking about It Chapter 2, which we saw this week. So we have a pretty full episode ahead. But before we get into that, we have a good bit of housekeeping. But first, you can find us at All Horror on Facebook. You can find us at All Horror on Twitter for Robin or the main account. You can find us on Instagram at @all_horror_podcast. And as always, you can find our website all-horror.com.
And then for Amanda, my Twitter is @allhorrorradio. And then for Instagram, it's Amanda_allhorror.
For Madison, you can find me on Instagram at amor.a.amort or on Twitter at @mads_allhorror. You can also find our book club on Instagram or Twitter at @allhorrorreads.
Really quick on the book club, Madison, can you, because I don't think we've actually like really fully talked about it again, like, do you want to kind of rehash what the book club is and what you hope to accomplish? Because you're spearheading this effort.
I think right now it's just still in a kind of sharing our what we're reading or stuff that we like in terms of books. Right now I'm reading Salem's Lot and a couple others that I'll throw up there. So if you need any good recommendations, you can check us out. Or if you have any recommendations you want to share, shout at us.
Hey.
I'm on Twitter at Lizanne, L-I-Z-Z-A-Y-N. And have fun with this one. I should make a jingle so people can remember how to spell my name. But on Instagram, I'm my full name, LizzayneShaarawi. Lizanne Shaarawy. So, again, have fun with that.
That has such a nice ring to it, though.
It does.
Thank you.
It does. So, yeah, we have a lot of handles and follow us on all of them. Other housekeeping this week? Okay, guys. So, like a little in kind of like behind the scenes housekeeping, but may impact the front end, is that we are changing hosting. And so as of today, when this episode airs, so technically Wednesday, we will have a new RSS feed. So Spotify, Podomatic, all of those different platforms should be correctly updated. But if you're one of the people who uses the feed itself and plugs it in just to kind of like a feed burner type of thing, like an RSS feed reader, then it will be changing. So we'll be putting all of that out on social media platforms as well as talking about it on the next show. But so if there is a technical error, sometimes these things don't necessarily fall into place like we want them to, but never fear, the episode will be posted and we do have a new RSS feed. So that being said, what did you guys do this week?
Well, I got to go to the Queen Mary over the weekend. We went Friday and then came home on Sunday. So we got to spend two nights in supposedly one of the most haunted places in the U.S., and that was a lot of fun. We went on a ghost tour, got to explore on our own, and just, yeah, had a lot of fun and super creepy. So highly recommended if you ever want to go to a creepy place and you're near California, it's in Long Beach, definitely check it out.
Any highlights?
There were a couple.
How many ghosts did you see?
Right, well, that's a burning question.
How many I saw?
Let's just get down to it.
Versus, I think we could probably say at least two. I still am going through a lot of our recordings and trying to figure out if anything came through on those. But I did bring my new spirit box that I told you guys about, and that was really fun to use. The first night we were there, we were, and again, I don't know anything about ships. So Lizzie, I was telling Lizanne about it before the show and she was trying to help me, but I don't know the sides of the ship. So forgive me. We were on the top of the ship and there's like a little hallway thing. And I was trying to open every door, of course, you know, to look inside. And, it was just super eerie when we opened one of them. And so we ran away. And then towards where the captain would have been, we had the spirit box on and we're like, is anyone here? And the spirit box immediately replied, Bruce. And I've read a ton about the Queen Mary. That name just didn't sound familiar. So I like Googled it real quick. Didn't see anything. I have no idea. Then we just kept it on while we were looking around and it immediately said, look at the pretty lights. And right in front of near the ship, there's a Ferris wheel and a big like area where people go when they're waiting for their cruises and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there was pretty lights and we're like, yeah, it's pretty. And then the spirit box immediately said happy afterwards. And then it stopped. So nothing happened after that. It just stopped. And then at one point we were, again, I'm looking through every door I can. It's like 1 a.m. So like no one's around. And there's a weird closet type area. It's on the top. It's kind of where people get married. But there's this random hallway in, I don't know, this place that had no lights. It's pitch black in there. So, of course, I just walk right in. And I'm trying to open every door inside. And one of the girls had the spirit box outside because she was a little too creeped out to go in. And she's like, guys, the spirit box just said get out. And I'm like, okay. So I like went over to her. I'm like, it's not talking. It's not doing anything again. So I'm like, I'm going to try it one more time with a flashlight. So me and I was with a bridal party. So the bride went in with me and then it said, get out of. So then we're like, okay, sorry, bro. Like we'll walk away. And then the ghost tour on Saturday night, I guess normally it's about 2 hours and it was a 5-hour ghost tour.
That's insane. We got to our room
at like 4:30 in the morning. So that was a lot of walking, but it was really cool. We were down like at the bottom of the ship in like the boiler rooms and there's a pretty big, well-known ghost down there, named John. And he was essentially, he got caught in one of the airtight doors. And so we were down there around his door for a while. And the boiler rooms are just super eerie. At one point, we got like a really big cold chill. Like one of the girls' arms was freezing cold. And I talked to like the ghost guy. I was like, I don't know where the like air conditioning vent or whatever is down here. And he kind of gave me a weird look. He's like, first off, we're down at the bottom of the ship. There's no airflow. I'm like, oh, well, I know my ships. Yeah, and it was like freezing right there, like in this one little area. So that was interesting. But again, I haven't gone through all of our recordings quite yet for our 5-hour tour.
That's crazy. That's a lot of audio.
Yeah, a lot of walking, a lot of looking around. But I'm super glad we went. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. That sounds like fun. So, Lizanne, what did you do this week?
Oh, I'm just playing catch up this week. It was really, school started last week and I've just been racing around trying to get things organized. I'm looking forward to Hooptober, which starts, I believe, Sunday. Again, it's basically a challenge to watch 31 films in, I believe, 45 days or 46 days. And they're horror films and there's a whole list of criteria for the films you choose, though you can choose whatever films you want to watch within that criteria. And it's on Letterboxd under Cinemonster. He kind of organizes it every year. And then also I'm on another podcast called Moby Flicks. And we just began our new season about baseball movies, which is about as far away from horror as possible. I wish there was a crossover. I looked, I can't find any baseball horror films.
So. I can't either at all.
But that's about it for me.
Madison?
Well, on Saturday, I met up with my high school friends and we played this card game. It's kind of like Cards Against Humanity. It's called Never Have I Ever, the Game of Poor Life Decisions, where, you know, you get the card and there's different things that you have to do, but you essentially have to, whoever has made the most poor life choices wins. And I won.
Hey, I've met some of them. How did you win?
I won with, let's just say I've lived. I have lived.
I wasn't there to play the game, Madison.
Right.
I know. We should play it on air.
Oh, we should. That sounds fun. Is this where you like kind of like proclaim all of your baggage for the world to hear?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun times. There's nothing more, you know, that I want in this world than for everyone to hear my bullshit.
Right. One of the questions was, have you ever masturbated with a vegetable? And because I'm vegan, that's what they they thought. Because there's one round where it's like you have to like guess which person has done it, and they thought I really loved vegetables.
You can be honest with us, Madison.
That's one thing
this
I have never done.
Zone, okay,
I feel like this guys. Is like Thank some you. Sort of like twisted male fantasy that women, just because things are shaped, you know, like a phallus, that it's just automatically.
Absolutely. You know, a guy wrote that card.
Definitely.
Well, that's fun. You guys had much more exciting weeks than I did. I did absolutely nothing. I finished my Hooptober picks and I started trying to collect them this week. I have so many movies. Lizanne, how are you going to have so much time to like watch these movies? I picked so many obscure things.
Well, funnily enough, when I pick them, I go through and I check and see where I can watch them. And the only one I can't find on either Hulu or Amazon Prime or something like that, or at my local library even, is the original We Are What We Are, I believe it is.
Yeah, the Mexican cannibal film.
Yeah, yeah. I can't find that one anywhere. So I don't know what I'm going to do if I have to. I'm hoping that in October a lot of films will be re-aired, and so maybe I can catch it somewhere, but that's the only one I'm having trouble finding. As for time, I do this really weird thing where while I clean, okay, first of all, I'm a stay-at-home mom and a writer, and that doesn't give me a lot of time. I know it sounds like it should, but it really doesn't. But when I clean the house, I watch movies on the iPad as I'm cleaning. I know that sounds weird, but if it's a movie either with subtitles or that is heavily visual, like I started trying to watch Under the Skin. Is that what it's called? With Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah.
She's like an alien.
God.
I couldn't watch it because I was trying to clean and it's like the first like 20 minutes is all visual. And I gave up because, you know, there was nothing to listen to. You actually had to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, there's very little dialogue in that movie. That film actually tops my list of like the most difficult to actually get through.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I actually had a friend visit from out of town and he was like, you have to watch these movies. And so I showed him Martyrs and he showed me Under the Skin and House, the Japanese film from the 70s.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's just batshit insanity. If any of you have not seen this movie, it's from the 70s and it's about a bunch of Japanese schoolgirls who basically just go to visit one of their aunts. And it is just, it's like almost like anime, like come to life. It's just so weird and random. It's live action, but it's crazy.
So have you seen, I'm sorry, I'm digressing, but have you seen the Takashi Miike film? I believe it's called The Happiness of the, I want to say Kurosawa's. Anyway, it's about this family that they buy this inn, which is haunted. And every time someone comes to stay in the inn, they get murdered.
I have not.
It is so funny and so gory and so inappropriate. It's very like early Peter Jackson-ish, like very Dead Alive-ish.
I highly
recommend it.
I'll have to check it out. I love Ichi the Killer and Blade of the Immortal a couple years, two years ago.
I have not seen Blade of the Immortal, but I have seen Ichi the Killer.
Ichi the Killer was really good. It was really brutal.
It was. I like the guy with the piercings in his cheeks.
Yes.
That's cool.
And Blade of the Immortal is equally as good. He also has a new one coming out called First Love that's coming out this year. It actually has been all over the news. And I way to segue, Lizanne, without even knowing it. And so, it was actually, a lot of people are talking about it this week. It's called First Love. And looking at it, a young boxer and a call girl get caught up in a drug smuggling scheme over the course of one night in Tokyo. And if you know Takashi Miike's style, you know it's going to be insane, brutal, gory, and just like overall crazy.
So, oh, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, sign me up. Don't know when, or is it already out? Don't know. But
it might be doing the festival circuit right now. A lot of it's festival season, so a lot of things are going through right now.
Oh, yeah. It looks like it
like
came
Con
out.
Like Cannes descended, Toronto Film Festival descended, or maybe it's actually – I don't know if Toronto just ended or if it's actually in process right now.
I'll have to double check. I think First Love hit the festival circuit in France in May, so it may be getting a release here soon.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm having a hard time on mine. I have, like, I'm looking at my Hooptober list right now, and I have, like, I picked some winners, like The Ginger Dead Man and Troll.
I have that one, too.
Oh, do you really? That's one of the worst movies ever made.
I have not seen it. But see, the thing is, and I keep reiterating this, but I like bad horror films. Like, I really, really enjoy them. I guess because I remember staying up late with my dad watching USA Up All Night.
Oh.
And so I have really fond memories of watching really, really shitty films with my dad. So.
Oh, anyway. That's cool. So it's a bit of a nostalgia for you.
Yeah. So I don't mind bad movies. I actually kind of enjoy them on some level.
I do. I don't like, I like it if as long as it's not like terribly slapstick, which The Ginger Dead Man is quite slapstick. But I have on mine, I have a lot of classics like Bride of Frankenstein, a lot of Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, It Came from Beneath the Sea, Black Sunday. So I have some good stuff on there, you know, classics, but
yeah.
Then I have Troll 2, Demon Knight, and Dead Man, so.
Right.
It'll be
what fun. I'm not hearing is Leprechaun movies. I was hoping that that would make it under the bad movies.
They are a guilty pleasure. Especially
the
in the
my
hood.
Favorite.
What?
I said the hood one. Yeah, that's my favorite one.
Oh, and I want to say that on Letterboxd, I'm at Lausanne, because I'm Lausanne on everything.
I'm just so impressed.
Like I said, I've only seen one more Lausanne, and so apparently there's only two of us in the whole world.
Also, what if she's your doppelganger?
What if? Right? Do you know what she looks like, Lausanne?
Yeah, she's actually much younger and prettier than me.
No, not possible.
Doubt it, yeah. I thought we were going to overtake her. Is that where we left off?
Yes. Oh, that's right.
We could still her youth hocus pocus style.
Yeah. Ooh. Nice. All right, Madison, get the brooms.
We're off. Also, last piece of news is, I know, Three from Hell, Rob Zombie's final film from the Three from Hell, like, you know, trilogy, the first being House of a Thousand Corpses, second being The Devil's Rejects, and then now Three from Hell comes out. It's a, kind of like a from Fathom Events and AMC Theaters. It's like a limited run. Listen, do you know if that's like due to like an embargo or what's going on? Like, why it's just such a limited release?
I can check on that.
I can't imagine it's not a huge movie everywhere.
Yeah, like it is. Like, it's all in the news. It's in every magazine. I've even seen like it on TV. And I'm going on Monday the 16th here locally. But yeah, I don't understand why it's like a 2-3 day thing. Like, that's it.
Yeah, it's Monday through Wednesday, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah. Any other thoughts of your week, news, or just randomness anyone wants to talk about?
No, I'm excited for... That's going to overlap with American Horror Story, though.
Oh, I was about to say that. Yeah, I'm really excited about the new American Horror Story.
Also coming out that same... on Wednesday, right?
The 18th, yes.
Yep. So I guess let's talk about American Horror Story.
That didn't sound excited enough for me.
No, I am excited. I am excited. Amanda sent me the trailer, this morning again? Like, another trailer that I hadn't seen before? And I was like, what is going on?
That was the original teaser when they announced the cast.
I, for some reason, watched something else at that point.
Yeah, that was just the cast teaser.
I was like,
was
who
like
are these people? Ago. What is going on? Who are these people? Like, I recognize Cody Fern and Billy Lord, and I was like, okay. So yeah, let's talk about American Horror Story.
Well, Mr. Jingles is the one that played the clown before.
Twisty,
oh,
really?
John Twisty. Lynch?
Yeah, that's Twisty.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like him. He's a great... Great. I'm sorry. I love character actors, and John Carroll Lynch is an amazing character actor.
Yeah. So that's, he walks into the cabin, but yeah. So I sent her the cast teaser, that I want to say Ryan Murphy had posted originally a while ago.
I'm way behind on my American Horror Story. Like, I don't follow American Horror Story on any in any capacity, so I entirely missed that. And the very first thing I saw was the actual, like, theatrical teaser trailer.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's kind of good, though, because then you can kind of go back and see it a different way.
It's true. It's true.
Try to get all these little Easter eggs they've already put up.
I just need to interject here. I'm an idiot. And I thought it came out tomorrow because I was thinking, oh, Wednesday. It comes out Wednesday. And I was so excited. And then I realized a week from Wednesday, from tomorrow.
Same here. Same here. Well,
a week from the 11th. Let me say that.
Yeah. Well, what we were hoping is when we're talking about the movies that we watched to prepare for it, people would have the whole week to prepare with us. Mm-hmm. So
right, which we all talked about, but what I totally forgot.
Oh, I'm sorry. That must have hurt your soul a little bit.
I don't know. My brain just pushed out all logic. It went, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Exactly. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Well, last week I had posted on Instagram and Twitter a list of movies that a lot either people were talking about or some of the movies that I thought would be relevant to the new season. So those were the ones that I chose, at least. Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween, the original, Sleepaway Camp, and then I Know What You Did Last Summer were the ones that I thought were relevant to the last trailer, at least. I'm sure I'm missing some.
So I've seen all of those except for Sleepaway Camp, which we watched.
And what did you think?
I loved it. It's so terrible. It was just, it was it circled around, like, from being, like, it did a full, I don't even know how to describe it. I hated it so much, I liked it.
Right. That mom is my favorite character of all time.
Oh, ever. My gosh. She's my idol for how a mom should be, for what I want to be as a mother one day.
Please.
Well, I like how it out crying game the crying game, you know? Free crying game the crying game.
It did.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like that mom is like 6 months away from visiting Grey Gardens with her cat food.
Oh my god, Grey Gardens. I once had to watch both of those back to back.
Why? What happened in your life that you like deserve that?
Call him out. Ian made me. He decided one day we were all going to watch it. And I didn't know what was happening to me.
It's fascinating.
Have you seen the Documentary Now parody of it?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my god, brilliant. So funny.
It's the best. Yes. So off horror. It's not horror. Well, it kind of is, I guess.
Well, yeah. Like there's like monsters at the end.
It's really weird, but yes, watch it. Watch the first or maybe the remake. I don't know if you really need to watch the original. And then the parody is great. But American Horror Story. yeah, that mom, I'm really hoping they somehow take her and make a character off of her.
Yeah, for I want to see story. Her spinoff.
Oh my gosh, yes. She deserves her own movie.
She deserves her own franchise.
Lizanne.
Yes.
We're calling on you for
fiction.
This.
Lizanne, give us some fan fiction.
Oh, man. No, I'm actually looking up. So at the beginning of the trailer, I'm sorry, I'm digressing. I'm so sorry, you guys. They have this big aerobics scene on the trailer for American Horror Story, the latest one. And Jamie Lee Curtis was in the movie Perfect. Jamie Lee Curtis was also in Halloween.
Yep.
So I love that little crossover with the.
The aerobics. Name of it. I believe is Perfect 10 mm-hmm. or something. Yeah.
No, it's just Perfect.
No. The aerobics place. There's like a neon sign in there. And I think it said Perfect something.
Nice touch on the trailer there.
Yeah.
I have the name of the movie's Perfect.
Did you see it? I'm like, maybe I should look up the trailer again. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it said Perfect something.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, they had a lot of nods. Did you guys have any other speculations, or how do you think the plot's going to go?
I'm interested in seeing, okay, so basically, Xfinity, I was cruising Reddit and read that on Xfinity, on Comcast Xfinity, they release, I'm trying to find it again, damn it, because when I read it earlier, of course I didn't like write it down or save it. I was like, I'll catch this later, and now it's gone. But they actually put the cast and the names, like character names, on Xfinity for the credits for the show. Mm-hmm. And they actually do state that Richard Ramirez is played by Zach Villa. Mm-hmm. Did we determine? Or Via Villa? So Richard Ramirez is actually named individually and specifically.
No, he is. I've seen it on a lot of the like teachers or the, what the word I'm looking for is, but American Horror Story hasn't put anything out on their official site yet. So that's why I'm like, I mean, last week or the week before, whenever we talked about it, I'm like, I think that has to be him. It looks like him. His stuff started around 1984, so it would make total sense.
My understanding is that he was active 84 to 85, so that would make perfect sense. But how are they going to, because what, Mr. Jingles is also the name of a killer, correct?
We think, and that's where American Horror Story is always... It leads you one way, and then it has a twist. So that's what I'm not sure of.
Well, I've heard that a lot of speculation on Tumblr and Reddit is that, you know, like a lot of 80s horror films, they're, you know, either in a camp or telling a ghost story or a murderer story or whatever, and that Mr. Jingles is like the quote-unquote fictional killer that they're speaking about, and that Richard Ramirez is the actual killer.
Well, Amanda, didn't you have a theory earlier about how... Emma Roberts' character has been through something traumatic, and mm-hmm. you were speculating that perhaps she survived an attack by Richard Ramirez?
I think so, because it looks like she's in bed, and it's not a camp bed. It looks like an apartment or a house, and she's sleeping. He comes in and attacks her, and then now that we all have done a little bit more research on him, there have been people that have gotten away. So I'm wondering if maybe she's based off of someone... and then, yeah, she goes to camp, and I'm wondering if maybe he follows her. They released the first four episodes' names, too. So it's Camp Redwood, Mr. Jingles, Slash Dance, and True Killers. So I'm wondering if that last one says True Killers, plural. So it could be two, could be one's being framed, possibly it even could be three, realistically, like if the old ones were done by someone else or someone framed and then someone's coming back to get that person again. I don't know.
Well, that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm. And then Lizanne, the aerobics place is called Perfect Aerobics. I just
there you go.
Found it.
That's a really nice nod to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Emma Roberts' character is named after the character from Nightmare on Elm Street as well.
Oh, interesting. Well, also, back to the slashers movies, before I forget, and I will forget, there's a really good, not really parody, but more like an homage that's comedic called You Might Be the Killer on Shudder. It's this really cute film starring Franz Kranz. Is that his name? He was also in Cabin in the Woods. And, oh gosh, the girl from Buffy, Allison...
Hannigan?
Yes.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah. And anyway, it's really cute. I highly recommend it. It's comedic, but it's also scary, but it also has a very, very good story that fits the whole, all the tropes of the camp killers, including the little twist at the end.
I'll have to check that out. I actually just resubscribed to Shudder like 2 weeks ago, and I was watching, Core, which is...
I don't know that one, I don't think.
It's basically kind of like a, I don't know how to articulate it, but it has hosts, and they basically kind of like pick a topic in the beginning, and then they bring on experts to talk about it. So like one was Halloween, and so they got into the Halloween masks, the intricacies behind them, how they changed, you know, through each franchise, how they did a lot of the special effects, and they actually bring a special effects artist on to show you. It's really cool. So
Sounds very interesting.
Director Mickey Keating is the one who hosts it. He did Darling, Psychopaths, and Carnage Park, if any of you have heard of those films. But it's really cool. It's just like every episode. And one, I think it's like the second episode, they show you how they do vomit, like in horror films. So it's just really cool. It's really cool. So I'll have to check that out.
And then I found the name. So Emma Roberts' character is named Brooke Thompson. I believe that's named after Nightmare on Elm Street, Nancy Thompson. So shared that on Twitter a little bit ago. You know, something we skipped over. And Lizanne, how did you let us? You won. You won. Our survivors. So the nice girl died, and the platonic BFF is the one true winner.
I'm shocked and amazed.
Go, Lizanne.
Yeah, she called it. She knew.
You better take pictures at the premiere.
I never signed up for anything, so good luck with that one.
Just show up.
Just show up.
Hey, I chose correctly.
I got the platonic BFF. Let me in.
Yes, I have no proof of, or record of this, but I promise I do.
Hey, we have verbal proof.
True.
We do.
Bring a little recorder.
Yes, please. Let me know how that goes.
If you need bail, you know our numbers.
Do you think they'll let her podcast from prison?
Oh my God, maybe.
We'll get you calling cards so that you can use their internet.
Yeah.
It's we'll help
you. Yeah, I think it's echoey in here.
Where's San Quentin?
A prison cell.
Wouldn't that be?
My God. I don't think women go to San Quentin, do they?
Do they? That's where Peterson is. And that's where like all of the big ones are.
But not the women.
Yeah, I've never heard of a woman being in San Quentin, ever.
No, Prisha's a male prison.
Is it male?
Sorry, Lizanne, you can't go there.
No, male.
Oh, darn it. One of the roughest prisons in the world. Shoot.
I figured you'd own it. Well.
No comment.
So, anyways, did you guys see any characteristics of any of the movies that were shown in the trailer?
I did. The two that I immediately picked up on were, I Know What You Did Last Summer with the, you know, hitting the person with the car, but Texas Chainsaw Massacre is actually the one that stood out to me the most as far as a nod to that. You know, picking up the hitchhiker and them being crazy and all hell breaking loose and it kind of instigating and furthering the plot in that way. So.
And the van.
And the van, exactly, the van. It always has to be the van.
The van. And then the scene essentially just taken from Halloween, too.
I was about to mention that as well.
And it looks like Loomis almost, the guy who's talking about.
I thought it was a woman in the Loomis role, though. A man does describe the killer, which I can see you equating that to Loomis, but I believe it's a woman who's actually the doctor. Like, she's the investigator.
Yeah, there's a woman standing next to him. And then I've heard some people are hoping that that's Frances Conroy. What's her last name?
Conroy.
Conroy, yeah. I didn't see it, but I did read a lot of people saying that they're hoping that's her making just a cameo real quick.
Well, Sarah Paulson has been confirmed for a cameo. She's the only one that when I checked earlier this evening, the only one that has confirmed to actually be like, yeah, I'm in it.
Yeah, she did. Okay, yeah, the guy, there's the old man that kind of, that has the beard and Loomis-like, but you're right, he's not the doctor.
Isn't Jessica...
Lange?
Yeah, isn't she coming back for a cameo this season?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I thought I heard she was.
She had, in one interview a while back, said that if she was going to come back for a role, she wanted to do the Freak Show role somehow.
Oh. Well, I mean, they do recycle the characters because, I mean, the clown and then the Pinhead was in Asylum and in Freak Show.
We just need the Martyrs director to come back.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Do a season.
I would watch the shit out of that.
We know. I think Sarah Paulson, though, when she comes back, I'm wondering if she's going to be on the TV doing an interview with like the last survivor.
That'd be interesting.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. Would that fit? That would in fact fit the timeline, right? From Asylum and
It would. And then Richard Ramirez is in Hotel too. So that would connect Hotel. And then if she's in it, it would connect Asylum.
That makes sense.
So that would be cool.
Adina Porter, how do you guys feel about her acting?
Which one is she?
She's been in pretty much all of them. She played Dinah, Beverly Hope, Lee Harris. I'm just going across like all of them.
Wait, was she Oh. Was she Tara's mom in
In
True Blood as well?
Really,
yes.
Great actress.
I like her. I like her too.
I think she was incredible in True Blood. Like, absolutely incredible. Like, heart-wrenchingly good in True Blood.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I cannot enjoy her on American Horror Story. It almost just feels like theatrical to me. Like, she belongs on a stage rather than on film, which I don't understand why, because she was so incredible in True Blood. But, like, her acting in American Horror Story has not really, like, hit me well.
I mean, you didn't like Roanoke, but I thought she did great.
Yeah, I feel like AHS, like, that's kind of the direction they've been taking in the past few.
Yeah.
Like, in Cult, Sarah Paulson was just, in every episode, she did this bawling, screaming hysterics.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't she do that on almost every episode, though, of, like, every like season? That's kind of, like, all of, there are compilations on YouTube of her just crying and screaming. Because that's, like, all she does.
Well, I think that's the reason why I really liked Coven, is that she's so measured and contained and strong and just...
Amen. Until she pokes her eye out.
She doesn't have, like, histrionics.
And screams.
And same with Asylum. I really loved her in Asylum, too. But... I don't know. Adina Porter is kind of like, I look forward every season to seeing her, because I think she's just so completely brilliant. Probably one of, like, the top 2 to 3 actresses and actors that they have on the show. And then I'm just so disappointed, like, every time. So I have a lot of hope this season.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think I'm more excited now than I was originally. Now that, I'm like 99.9% sure Richard Ramirez is the killer with the jagged knife, and then just all the different nods and everything. I think it's going to be good. And then I really do think Lana Winters is going to be back.
That is a good good guess. We'll have to come back and, like, go over all of our guesses.
Like, we were all wrong.
Does anyone have anything else as far as slasher nods to films before Madison takes us on a little journey?
I think Leslie Grossman's character is going to have a bigger role than she's had before.
Is Naomi Grossman in this one?
No, I don't think she's been in it for a while.
Damn it.
I like her a lot. She's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie?
I agree. No, Naomi, I think.
Oh, Naomi.
Naomi is incredible. And so is Leslie. Leslie, it just is naturally one of those... She's just so naturally funny. She's hysterical. Like, I look at her and she smiles and I laugh and I don't know why.
Yeah, she's just really silly normally. Like, I don't know, all the interviews I see of her and stuff, I just like her.
So for Leslie, I was just looking over the American Horror Story cast listing, and apparently she played Patricia Krenwinkel at some point.
What season?
It doesn't say. It just says one of the characters she plays, Patricia Krenwinkel, and that's very, I don't know if they're just using the name.
No, on Cult. She played, there was a flashback where Evan Peters was Manson.
Oh, and, how funny.
Yeah, and Leslie Grossman was one of the Manson girls.
Oh, on Cult? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's for the one I can't get past the second episode. Because I
told you, it'll get better.
You know, life's short. I don't know if I can do it.
But no, I'm thinking she was in the first massacre. And that she's back, and her and the, you know, the chef person, the one that's like, I only have good memories of this place. You're like, no, everyone died. So I think they're in on something.
We are about to find out.
And then, so yeah, Richard Ramirez, Madison is going to tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, gather around, kids, because we're going back to 1980s.
Hooray.
This is the story of Richard Ramirez, a.k.a. the Night Stalker. Over the span of a couple years, Ramirez raped and tortured over 25 victims and killed more than a dozen people before finally being caught. So, little Richie was born Ricardo Levia Munoz Ramirez in El Paso, Texas, on February 28, 1960. And this makes him a Pisces, which is relevant because the majority of serial killers, now not all, but the most common zodiac signs among serial killers are Pisces, Gemini, Sagittarius, and Aquarius. And
that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, and no joke, but the most common middle name is Wayne. And
true.
That's not a joke at all.
That's true. No, that's actually, that is factual.
Like John Wayne Gacy, who was also a Pisces. So
oh.
I know. So he was the fifth child born to Mercedes and Julian Ramirez. Richard reportedly suffered multiple head injuries at an early age. When he was 2, a dresser fell on him and it knocked him out completely unconscious for at least 15 minutes, and it gave him a concussion. That head trauma also landed him in the ER and took 30 stitches to close.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, just a couple years later, when he was 5, he was again knocked unconscious by a swing. And this is when he started to develop epilepsy. But the doctor said, don't really worry. He should grow out of it. It wasn't life-threatening. And despite all of this, his head injuries and his epilepsy, he really wasn't too weird of a kid or off-putting. He didn't really have any of the red flags that we think of when we're looking at serial killers or trauma. And in fact, a former classmate of his described him as being a cute, sweet kid with sweet brown eyes.
My, how times change.
Yeah.
And I did see when his mom was pregnant too, she worked around a lot of like chemical fumes.
Yeah, she worked in a boot factory. Mm-hmm. And there it was some speculation of could all those chemicals have done something, or like I heard it almost caused a miscarriage. But that's pretty speculative.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just, by all measures, a pretty normal kid. As he got older, he was the quarterback on the football team. He was still relatively cute. But his dad did have a temper. And when he was 10, he started hanging out in cemeteries to avoid his physically abusive dad. And things just kind of got out of hand from there. When he was 12, he started sniffing glue, I think just as a way to... This is totally editorializing, but just as an escape. And it wasn't until he was an adolescent that shit got real. Baby teenage Richard spent a lot of time with his older cousin Miguel, who had just returned from Vietnam. So these two would get high together, and Miguel would tell Richard these gruesome stories of war and show pictures of these Vietnamese women that he had tortured and raped and killed. And the two got close and kind of bonded over this type of violence. Mm-hmm. And when Richard was 13, he watched Miguel murder his wife. And Richard just was cool with it. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't try to stop him or tell anyone. Yeah.
I also read that he was there standing so close that her blood actually splattered all over Richard's face.
Uh-huh. I read that too.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he never told his parents that he was in the same room. Otherwise, they wouldn't let them hang out, like, or talk or continue talking.
In 1977, Richard dropped out of the 9th grade and pretty soon was arrested on a marijuana possession charge and spent time in juvenile detention. When he got out, shortly after, he moved to California, where one of his older brothers lived, and his crime spree and drug use intensified. He became addicted to cocaine, committed burglary, and developed an interest in Satanism. He was arrested for auto theft in LA in 1981, and then again in 1984. So clearly he's not great at learning from his mistakes. On June 28, 1984, Ramirez committed his first murder. He removed a window screen from an old woman's apartment. She's 79 years old. And he quietly entered the house where he sexually assaulted and then repeatedly stabbed her. And according to the medical examiner, he went, quote, overboard, stabbing her upper torso, her neck, her arm area, her face, and her back. So he just went hog wild on this poor, almost 80-year-old woman. So police couldn't find anything at the crime scene. But when investigators were preparing the body for the morgue, they found a single fingerprint left by Ramirez. But because this was the 80s, they really couldn't do much with it until they had a suspect. But California was in the process of building their electronic fingerprint system, but it wasn't functional yet. It wasn't up and running or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward 9 months later, March 1985. Ramirez spotted Maria Hernandez as she was driving down the freeway. So he, in his car, followed her back to her house. So she pulls in, closes the automatic garage door, and Ramirez sneaks in to the garage with her. She gets out of her car, turns around, and comes face to face with Ramirez. And
It's horrifying.
Like a normal fucking human, she screams at him to, and so he fires the gun at her. It knocks her down, but the bullet was reflected off of her keys. So she's lying on the ground. And she pretends to be dead, and Ramirez buys it. He goes inside where he kills her roommate, Dale Okazaki. Mm-hmm. And as he's fleeing the scene, Maria gets a good look at him. So she's able to contact the police and give a relatively accurate description of him. So Ramirez, still jonesing for murder, that night he goes out and kills Cy Lin Yu in her car. And police were able to match the bullet casings from both crime scenes. And it was that night that the media first started calling him the Valley Intruder. 10 days later, on March 27th, Ramirez murdered 64-year-old Vincent Zazara and his 44-year-old wife, Maxine, using a style that kind of becomes his signature. He'd shoot the husband first and then brutally assault the wife and usually kill her. Like, if she fought back or said anything, she was definitely going to get killed. Mm-hmm. In this case, he also gouged out Maxine's eyes.
Jesus.
Yeah, a full-scale police operation yielded no concrete results, but he continued his pattern, this time on pensioners William and Lily Doy in May of 1985. According to some eyewitnesses, he would wear all black, like black everything, including black shades, and he would like stick to the shadows, right? So this really murky, mysterious man was just capturing everyone's attention. But he wasn't called the Night Stalker yet. That comes later. On July 20th, 1985, Max and Leela Knighting are also murdered. And there's a lot here, guys. I'm not going to go through each victim, although they absolutely deserve respect. There's just too many for us to get through, unfortunately. So over the next months, his murder rate escalates. He claims another dozen victims in a frenzy of burglaries and assaults and violence, and goes deeper into his satanic rituals and starts incorporating those into the crime scene as almost a signature, in addition to the shoot, rape, shoot method that he's currently using. This is when the LAPD puts together a task force and the FBI steps in. So now we've got police, we have the FBI, we have lots of media coverage, and Ramirez knows that people are onto him. So he hightails it from LA to San Fran in August, where he kills two more victims on August 17th. So this is when the media replaces the Valley Intruder moniker with the Night Stalker, since most of his assaults take place at night in the victims' homes. And he's all shadowy and black and, you know, thinks he's a badass. On August 24th, 1985, he spotted outside a Mission Viejo home where he unwittingly leaves a footprint. Witnesses are able to take note of his car and his license plate. Later, after Ramirez rapes another woman in her home and shoots her fiance, the victim provided a detailed description of Ramirez, who had also forced, in addition to sexually assaulting her, forced her to swear her love for Satan. A few days later, Ramirez's abandoned car was found, complete with enough of a fingerprint to make a match to that very first fingerprint from the very first crime scene. See, it's all coming together. And police are finally able to identify him, like they've got this bastard because he spent so much time in jail. So the media, now they have his prison photo, and they blast that shit along with clues from witnesses and survivors and descriptions. And his image is plastered everywhere. It's like a feeding frenzy for the media. Kind of unbeknownst to Richard, though, he goes back to LA, and on August of 1985, he goes into a convenience store and doesn't really notice the cop standing right outside. It's not until he kind of looks up and sees a group of elderly women pointing to him as they're talking to an officer that he kind of knows shit's getting real. So he flees on foot. There's a huge chase. Seven police cars and a helicopter start tracking Ramirez through the streets and alleyways of LA. Eventually, a group of bystanders catch him, tackle him, and start beating the shit out of him with a metal pipe. And by the time the police arrive, Ramirez was thanking them for arresting him. So because of the type of crimes he committed in all the different jurisdictions, prosecutors and defense attorneys kept battling over where they wanted to be tried, and it kept pushing his trial date back. So finally, in a weird truce, they agreed to drop some charges and just prosecute him so that they could move forward. The trial began in 1989. During this time, Ramirez attracted a cult-like following of supporters. Many of them were Satan worshippers like himself. Even when he went into the courtroom, he would dress in all black, sometimes with black sunglasses on, you know, because only badasses wear shades indoors.
I was like, who let him wear the sunglasses during
right.
court proceedings?
Like, what are you trying to say?
So he like walks out of his cell and he's like, guys, I need black. And they're like, let me get this for you. He gets all black. Don't forget my sunglasses. Absolutely, sir. Let me get you the sunglasses to wear to court. But sure, yeah. 80s.
So during his trial, it gets delayed because one of the jurors gets murdered. But it's not Ramirez. Like, they're able to prove that it wasn't him. It was just a coincidental murder. So that kind of puts a delay in things. Finally get their shit together. And the jury returns a unanimous guilty verdict on 43 charges, including 13 counts of murder, 5 counts of attempted murder, 11 sexual assault charges, and 14 burglary charges. A couple weeks later, they sentenced him to death on 19 counts. And as he's leaving the courtroom, Ramirez responded, "Hey, big deal. Death always comes with a territory. I'll see you in Disneyland."
Oh, God.
While he was in prison, he married one of his fangirls, 41-year-old Doreen Leoy.
Okay, can I jump in here? Okay, I do not understand how these men have groupies. They killed women.
Oh, you know how long it took me to find a husband? And these got like...
If you actually go on... So Tumblr itself has a huge repository of like serial killer facts and photos and crime scene photos that you really can't find elsewhere.
One is this?
Tumblr, actually.
Oh, wow.
And mm-hmm. But it's also like Grand Central fucking station for women who worship them.
Ugh.
And so especially like the Columbine kids, Dahmer,
ew,
like Ted Bundy's like fan club is on Tumblr. Like, it's some really sick shit. If you just go on there and just kind of float around, you'll learn a lot and get a lot of information, but you have to deal with groupies.
So nasty.
Yeah.
And what's up with everyone with Disney?
I kind of prefer
leave
like
Disney
John Wayne,
out of it, everyone.
Right? I kind of prefer like John Wayne Gacy's like short, sweet speech when he was being put to death of "Kiss My Ass."
Wasn't the joke though? Like, what are you going to do now? I'm going to Disneyland. Isn't that like the running joke?
When the Super Bowl, right?
Oh, Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy Kerrigan, yeah.
Why?
Have you seen the Tonya Harding, the I, Tonya movie?
Yes.
No, is it good?
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I love that actress.
Margot Robbie does an amazing job. And she was like, it makes you really think about how Tonya was raised, because she's like, oh my God, I get hit every day and you don't see me crying. In other words, she comes from a very abusive background. She doesn't understand why Nancy's such a whiny baby.
Yeah.
Aw, that makes me sad.
It really is a really good movie.
It's
funny, if not really, really messed up. It's a very dark comedy. But I digress again. I'm sorry. Continue.
That's okay. We're almost at the end of our story. In 2000, here's where I'm like, this is the part that makes me really angry and really sick. In 2009, a DNA sample connected him with the April 10th, 1984 rape and murder of a 9-year-old girl in San Francisco.
And that is repulsive. That is so
absolutely
nasty.
After almost 24 years on death row, Richard Ramirez died on June 7th, 2013, at age 53, from complications related to lymphoma. So,
I hope it was long and painful.
Fuck you, Richard Ramirez.
Yeah.
Well, Andy lost his wife over it.
Aww. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she believed him that he did not do that to the 9-year-old because he would never lie.
Yeah, like, I don't get that. I don't understand. So many women, especially with children, who are so willing to put their young children in bed, basically, with serial killers and serial rapists and pedophiles. I do not understand. Yeah.
Because women, there are women, not all women, obviously, but there are women out there that always put their need of acceptance and love in front of everything, before their children, before jobs, before their families. And it's really messed up.
It really is.
Well, a part of me thinks, like, how can a person do that? I think something is broken in their brains where they... I don't know. I just have to believe that they genuinely don't think there's harm, or they think that this man has changed, or like they delude themselves so much where they actually believe their bullshit.
Oh, like the whole, you don't know him. Like, I know him.
Yeah. Well, or like, no, my love will change him. And he's told me, and I believe him. And they, they genuinely believe this shit.
No, it's true. And like the killer himself is like some wounded little child that can be completely healed. It's almost like a mother like type of complex. But on that point, are any of you familiar with Katherine Ramsland?
No.
Okay, so she's a writer and an author. She's written books. One of my favorite books of all time, actually, Confessions of a Serial Killer, The Untold Story of Dennis Rader, the BTK Killer. So she actually became, quote-unquote, friends with Dennis Rader, BTK, through prison, and they would write notes back and forth, and he actually pretty much, like, gave her the full lowdown on, like, his crimes via, like, hidden messages. And they actually had a code that they would go back and forth with so that the jail people and the guards couldn't, wouldn't take it out and whatnot. Actually wrote a really, really good article called Women Who Love Serial Killers. And she completely, and it's actually published on Psychology Today, and she goes, like, deep down the psychology of women and, like, serial killer groupies. So if you are interested in that, check it out, because she's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So did anyone see the article on AnneTV.com for the Annie channel about how Richard Ramirez's decaying gross teeth helped catch and convict the serial killer?
Yes.
No.
Basically that his teeth were rotting since he was a kid, and he'd, like, never brushed them and never went to the dentist and drank lots of soda and ate lots of candy. In fact, he was busted a lot for shoplifting junk food. That one of the ways they caught him was that everyone commented on that he had rotting teeth. Mm-hmm. And this guy was terrifying and with rotting teeth. Oh, well, and go on.
No, go ahead.
I was also, did you notice how, yes, he shot the husbands or boyfriends or partners and then, you know, raped and then horribly assaulted the women, but he never hurt the boys? He would tie them up and he would make them go find the valuables. But as far as I read, he never hurt the boys. He always let them go.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Also, if you want to hear something that should make you really mad, did you know that prison actually fixed his teeth?
Yeah, I did read that.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Taxpayer dollars work.
One of the other things, too, that I had heard about is the shoe print.
Oh, yeah.
And they almost caught him because of the shoe print fairly early on, I want to say, because the size and the brand that the print left, there's only one sold in the area. And then when they talked to the shop that it was purchased from, he had paid cash and they couldn't remember.
Oh, suck.
Oh, I thought they said that it got leaked to the press and then he threw him off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Well, yeah, that happened. I want to say in San Francisco, the mayor put the information out there and then they got mad at her because she basically, gave it away. And then he threw everything over the bridge with the gun. And then, Robin, that site you had told me about before, the murder auction site, he too has drawn Disney characters and sold them. So there's a great picture of, I want to say it's Nala, adult Nala.
Are you serious?
Going on there? Yeah. How ridiculous. Like, we need to find the ties between all these serial killers and Disney, and that's how we're going to start catching them.
Are you talking about Supernaut?
Which one?
Supernaut.
No, murderauction.com.
On Supernaut, let's see. You can, for $250, you can get a signed Richard Ramirez Scooby-Doo drawing that he did. A whale.
I'll pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just, I'm just imagining Disney, like, being associated with these. Just being so angry. This one's only $75, though. It's just a line ink drawing.
Oh, yeah.
There's no painting.
He loved Scooby-Doo. I'm looking at 5 Scooby-Doo drawings right now.
Ruh-roh.
Right.
Wouldn't Scooby-Doo have caught them? Right. When we're talking about serial killers, I'm like, I want to know what they did, their artwork. And some of these look like a 4-year-old drew.
No, it's true. He's not very good, that is for sure. He is not a good artist.
Okay, so he killed all these people, but can we talk about his drawings? Oh my god, he's terrible.
Interesting. And you know what? There's a, you know, like when you outline your hand with a pen, like when you make your...
Did he make a turkey?
Like your turkeys?
There is no turkey, but there is the 666.
And I almost wanted to be the hamburger helper guy.
But if you do want that line drawing of his hand, it is $6,500.
Jesus.
Wait, so that one's more than Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
Nah.
Well, it's his hand. Like and then he drew a nice hill over it and a moon. Crescent moon.
Jesus.
Well, I mean, on that count, then, I mean, I guess I can see the $6,000 price tag. Yep. It's got a moon.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not even great. So this one, hold on. It's a nice collection with 3 different signatures from 2005. And it has, I don't even know what this thing is. It looks like a girl with a doll or possibly like a pumpkin head thing with a doll. I don't even know. I'll have to send it to you guys later.
There's so much.
And that's Richard Ramirez, folks.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That was really informative, Madison.
That was good.
So until next time, I have to go. And it's been fun. Bye.
Okay, guys. So Ed, I know we all have just a few thoughts on Ed. I don't think we're like hot and bothered for it, but.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I was entertained. The movie, I don't feel like it dragged. Like for me, I didn't look at my watch to see when it was going to be over. I did think parts of it were a little ridiculous, though. Mm-hmm. Like the acting was really great, and
so yeah, like the adult characters, I think they were perfection. Like they casted amazing.
And they looked so much like the kids.
Mm-hmm. It was perfection.
Like, really, especially like Eddie. Like oh my gosh, like. Such a good job.
Even Ben was incredible.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I think it's the best casting that I've ever seen in a movie that has, you know, child to adult transition.
It's so many of them.
Yeah.
It's not just one or two. It's a lot.
I think that the acting was good, but I find that because situationally speaking, some of the scenarios were just so fucking ridiculous that the acting was just a little too like cheesy for me at times. But again, it was situational based on the scenario. You know what I mean? Like they did a good job acting, but the situation was just so stupid that it just completely took me out of it.
To their credit, like they acted the shit out of like. With what they were given.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like they made you believe if it weren't for, you know, how silly. And it just felt a little bit more cartoonish than the last one. Like the last one, like I was genuinely scared a few times. And this one, like there were some gotcha moments. And especially the ending. Can we just talk about how...
Had
that ending was
how
of,
fantastic it was.
Oh god,
I can't. No.
So in the book, it ends. Sorry to spoil it for everyone. When Eddie dies, they get so mad that their anger eclipses their fear, and they just go for him. And when it's them losing their fear that makes him vulnerable, right? And like, and that's how they're able to best the beast. And in this one, it was but words like, we're gonna be mean to you.
I was
they hurt his feelings.
Yeah, you're small. There's more than one way to make someone small. And I'm like, really? Words are what we're going to use?
So I'm going to... I'm looking at my notes. So I have 19 points for it, which I will not go over. But, like, literally every one is... So for that, I said, fucking spider. It's literally another fucking spider. And then for the next one, I said, they're now hurting Pennywise's feelings, calling him an old man, a weak boy, a mimic, a clown. Are we kidding right now? And then my last one is pancake it. Are we fucking joking? Oh, and then sewers, okay. Like when they're down in the sewers, like fucking Smeagol from Lord of the Rings shows up and grabs Beverly. I mean, my number, if you look at it, it literally looks like Smeagol was lifted out of Lord of the Rings and plopped into it. I found that the CGI in this one, like, they tried to cram so much, the CGI was terrible.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. I was expecting how the monsters were in the first one. Like, anything that he became was going to be super creepy, and, like, it was a letdown. Even the old woman scene, when I was like, ooh, that's spooky, how they kept playing it all over the place, and then it just got terrible.
Yeah, it got, it's what I'm saying, like, it was, all of the monsters felt so cartoonish. And I don't know, I guess I just wanted a little bit more sophisticated horror, because they're adults now, right? And I kind of get it's like they're like regressing, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it just needed like a sexier horror, if that makes sense.
I completely agree. And also, I haven't read the book in literally probably 2 decades, so... In the book or the first film, didn't the adults all initially remember what happened to them when they were kids? Or am I completely getting that wrong?
At least in the first one, I'm the worst. I'm only like halfway through the book. I tried and it just didn't work out.
It's boring.
The first one, they're like hazy. Like they kind of remember.
Yeah,
I believe,
like things. But... Yeah, that's what I. It's been probably 2 years since I've. I listened to it on audiobook all 56 hours.
Oh my
and
God.
I think that's right, Amanda.
Yeah, I think the one I'm doing is 47 hours right now, but I also have it sped up a little.
For some reason, I recall like the adults remembering and being like, oh no, oh shit, and being really upset. I could be completely wrong. I'm just looking through my notes. And then the scene when they all congregate back together at the restaurant, the fortune cookie baby, the eyeball, the bats. I'm like, okay, is this the tone?
Okay,
that
I know,
this
like
is
you mean
right
when they get the phone call?
Yes.
Yeah, they remember then. Like they remember the promise that they made.
And then also just like the terrible CGI and character and creature creations, like, you know, like little things that come to life out of the fortune cookie bowl.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that was my first like kind of red flag, I guess. And then next is when Beverly goes to see the old woman and she's fat and naked and suddenly a mouth comes out in her neck.
It was the worst.
So
it was
bad.
So bad. And they made her so creepy, like with all of the
I had such
teasers.
High hopes for her.
And yeah, then, this is Kirsch.
And then to me, the two worst moments in the entire film were Pancake at the end, when he literally deflates like a fucking balloon, and then also the Paul Bunyan sequence.
That's part, though, Stephen King asked them to add it, I believe.
Ugh. You're wrong, Stephen. You were wrong for that.
Like, they could have made it, I don't know, I could have made it not so
silly,
video game-like, you know?
Right.
And I'm going to pull in Amanda when Eddie's in the pharmacy and the old man, the pharmacist, is like touching his face. And I was like, that could be cancer. His face was so fucking dry and peeling. I literally wanted to take my Neutrogena and just slather him in it.
Oh, you noticed it.
Oh, God. It bothered me so badly.
Yeah, it hurt. It hurt.
It hurt me.
I did like the nods to people hating the endings, though, throughout the movie.
Right, yeah.
I thought that was funny. And then I liked, too, that when they open with the murder, what's his name, Adrian, right?
Adrian, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that they added a little bit more from the book. I didn't realize that was based on an actual murder, though.
Mm-hmm. And so actually, the current, like, It Chapter 2, like, recently, it's actually coming under a lot of scrutiny because apparently the LGBT community, because, like, gay bashing and crimes against the LGBT community are so, you know, still kind of, it's like a raw nerve. It still happens mm-hmm. frequently.
Right.
So a lot of people are actually, like, no lie, getting PTSD. Like, coming into the film, sitting down and watching it, and they have no idea. And then, like, a lot of... It's actually triggering people's PTSD and trauma.
It was a hard watch.
Yeah.
And it almost trivializes, like, taking a real murder and blaming it on a clown, or, like, incorporating it into entertainment.
Yeah.
I think is also irritating mm-hmm. a lot of people. Or it's disrespectful right. to a lot of people. Not yeah. irritating.
Right. I think it was more just putting it on screen to show people that it still happens, that live under a rock and don't notice, you know, both sides of it in a sense. Like, hey, this still happens. Watch out for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was sad.
But yeah, I mean, that was from the book. And I, like I said, recently started the book. So I was like, oh yeah, that person's not in there. And then I had seen in one of the teasers that when he's floating in the water with the hat. And I'm like, oh, that must be that same person. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you guys noticed, but when Ben is on the video call with his work, essentially, or the builders or whatever, the old Ben is actually there. Like the original.
Oh, really?
Ben.
I did not pick up on that.
Oh, cool. I was like, yeah. He looks familiar. He looks familiar. And then I Googled it and came up.
Yeah. Oh, like overall for me, though, like I feel like this movie completely just flipped the tone of the original on its head. I feel like they just went kind of like go big or go home, and they should have like gone home with it because it was just way too fucking much. It was way too much. It was overboard. It took me out of it. I was so skeptical the first one. I did not go see it in theaters. I waited a long time until it came out on 4K to watch it. And I was like, I guess I'll watch it. Kind of need to. And I was actually blown away by the first one. It actually, you know, creeped me out multiple times.
It was so good.
The
yeah.
suspense and whatnot. This one lacks all of it. It just has bad CGI creatures in places where just like really well-written tension should be. It just
agreed.
Like, let's create something shitty and stupid looking.
And I also think it really lacked that beautiful, earnest mm-hmm. relationship building that the first one gave us. I feel like Bev, you know, she was all about Bill until, like, right up until Ben, you know, Ben's about to, like drown in the dirt, and he tells her that he loves her and recites the poem. And suddenly, like, a fucking light has been switched. She's all about Ben now, and,
yeah.
like, that's who she loves. And it just felt...
Like, she'd already made out with
Bill. They took such pains to make the first one just so beautiful and so, so great. I can't even think of the words. Just so, like, colorful and innocent, but mm-hmm. a loss of innocence. And it was such a complex, gorgeous thing. And this one, I don't know, they felt like they didn't have to, or that they'd already done it, and so they didn't need to do it again, or that we would just remember and... I don't know.
I just thought they were trying to show off too much with the CGI.
Yeah.
And then it fell flat, and they were relying on it so heavily.
Yeah.
It yeah. would be my guess. Like, there's little things, like, I read, like, on IMDb and stuff, all the little Easter eggs and things like that around it, and I thought all of those were clever. I don't know if you guys noticed it. I didn't, and then I read it. But the same actress that played Eddie's mom in the last one plays his wife in this one.
Oh, really?
Molly oh, yeah, Atkinson.
I did not notice
yeah.
that.
But when I went back and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. You know, so little things they did were good. And then the CGI just, I think it's just CGI. And then, of course, the end, like the ending was, yeah. But I feel like that's cliche. Maybe they did it because that's the running joke.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, we can go with that because I have no explanation for everything else that I just saw.
Yeah.
So as far as theater or rental, what would you guys say?
If you can still see it with a big audience, it certainly is entertaining. Like, I'll give you that. Like, if you can suspend disbelief and just go along with it and, you know, maybe lower your expectations a little bit, a theater might be fun, like that type of energy, and those scares might be scarier. But if not, rent it.
I'm going,
I don't know. It's kind of like an either or for me.
I'm 100% rent it. Do not waste your money unless you have AMC movie pass, you know, the A-list movie pass, and you just need to throw something in. Otherwise, just 100% wait until it's on DVD or rental.
That's pretty much what I was going to say, is if you could get it super discounted or you're on the AMC plan, see it. Just know that the ending isn't going to be exciting. The CGI fell flat, but the acting is great.
Agreed. Thanks again, guys. And do you guys have any closing thoughts?
Madison, lead us out with the website, please.
All-shore.com. All-shore.com. All-shore.com.
So thanks again, guys. And with that, we are out.
Bye.
Bye.